If you're wandering around an East Asian forest at night, you may encounter a creature that bears an ill omen. Black cats, ravens, owls, people around the world believe some animals are a sign that death is around the corner. But the greater Death's Head hawk moth would send a chill up the spine of even the least superstitious person. Why would any animal sport the image of a ghostly skull in life, death, and taxonomy? Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. A very special thank you to our patrons. Also, thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you would like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about a moth that is marked for death, but more on that later.
Yeah. Bootstrap Bill came and gave him the black spot.
Yes. This was a suggestion from Rowan.
Nice.
Thank you for suggesting something, Rowan.
I love getting suggestions. Because otherwise, I am just sitting there scrolling through, like, weird animal lists. weird and wacky animals. Let's talk about them. But this is also called the... we're talking about the Greater Death's Head Hawk Moth. What a mouthful. I'm sure also if you had the moth in your mouth, it would also be a mouthful. It's also known as the Death's Head Moth, and it's also known as the Skull Moth, for reasons that will become apparent. We're going to call it here the Flutters Grim and Morris Mothda, which is, which I think I spelled that right. I probably didn't, but will make sense later. Let's taxonomize this. Whoa, my chair almost ended my life. Okay. the adrenaline rush that happens when you thought that your chair was locked in place and then it just clicks and goes backward. It's like, oh, I gotta put that life insurance policy to use. All right, let's taxonomize this before the Death's Head hawk moth visits me. I get this confused because we already covered the false Death's Head cockroach. And so, like, it's like, didn't we already do this one? Nope. It's the greater, not false, this one's greater Death's Head hawk moth. So it's in the kingdom you know, Levin are in. That kingdom is Animalia. The phylum is Arthropoda, the class Insecta. It's a moth. The order is Lepidoptera. So we're in the butterfly moth world off Sample Road in the Turnpike. It's in the family Sphingidae. That one's fun. Sphingidae.
Hmm.
The genus is Acherontia, and the species is Lachesis. I think. Lachesis? So Acherontia Lachesis is the binomial nomenclature. And since we're in the business of naming things, and business is good, it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Acherontia Lachesis? Basically, for this one, which one of these Slayer song titles is the nomenclature? They're not actually Slayer song titles, but they sure sound like them. So A, does Acherontia Lachesis mean Winding River of Woe? B, Torn Shadow Wing. C, Underworld Allocator of Fate. Or D, Deathbringer Moth.
Underworld one. Final answer. C.
That is correct. The Underworld Allocator of Fate.
See you later, Allocator.
Yep. So I was like, I've never really listened to Slayer. I don't like that kind of. It's not my cup of tea. Really, if you look at some of their like top songs, War Ensemble, Skeletons of Society, Dead Skin Mask, Raining Blood, like, yeah, you know, it jives with all of these. Underworld Allocator of Fate.
I could not recall a single.
Raining Blood was, I believe, in Guitar Hero 2, and that's the only one I've got. I would even be able to recognize. I couldn't even sing it for you now. Mostly because I don't think there's any singing in it. It's just screaming. The Acherontia is a reference to the underworld, and Lachesis is like an allocator of fate, like a caster of lots, basically. So it's like a specific character in the underworld that like chooses your fate, basically.
You have chosen death.
And so you have chosen death. Such a happy and nice thing to think about. Let's talk about what this guy looks like. Because I'm sure it's not called the Skull Moth for nothing. So it looks like a moth. That is also a goth tattoo. It has a moody mix of dark brown, black, yellow, velvety texture on its wings. Its body is fuzzy, like a moth is wont to be. It has a cigar-shaped body, like a moth. It is larger than your average moth. But it's not like, you know, a bird-sized or anything like that. It is one of those moths that you would be uncomfortable with having loose in your house. Sometimes you get the little ones, you're like, all right, you can live. I'll let you be here. But then there's some of them where it's like, there's not enough room for both of us. One of us has to go, and I have the mortgage, so you have to leave. I think this is in that category. Too big to live side by side with you. It has these feathery antenna that curve like tiny sickles of death. And it has one of those long coiled proboscises. I think that's how you say that. Like a butterfly, and that lets it sip nectar like a straw. So I mentioned how big it was. Gave kind of a general reference. Should we get more specific? How big is it, Joe?
Let's get more specific. And let's do that now. Welcome to the Blood Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show. I mean, it's just a part of the show, not anyone's favorite.
That's right. It's no one's favorite. No one.
Well, it's the minority's favorite, but the majority's not favorite. It's also part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself singing or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week.
It's been a while.
But that means we get to hear from an animal. Carl says to guess what it is. All right, you're going to have to pay attention. This is the character's theme. Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show. Do you know
holy
what that is?
That is a lot of sound, but I did pick out the theme of the Radiance final boss from Hollow Knight.
That's correct.
The just giant celestial moth that haunted my nightmares because it was so difficult.
That's correct, and you knew what his name was.
I love that game. It's one of my favorite games, and that soundtrack is one of my favorite soundtracks. So, couldn't miss it, even with all of the slashing and particle effect sounds and rays of light that take out two entire health bars every single time you get hit. Not that I would know about that kind of stuff intimately or for hours on end. But, yep, that's the Radiance.
Well,
The god moth that is infecting all of the bugs in Hollow Nest. It must be stopped.
That's correct.
At all
costs. It is the Radiant. Radiance. let's talk about their length. They're about 60 millimeters or 2.36 inches. That's a big moth. 2 inches in length. How many fit into these things, which is correct? A, 2.2 Thai chili peppers go into the body length of this moth, or 8 moths go into the length of a Bemar bamboo flute, or 1.1 moth goes into the diameter of an Indian bangle.
Like a bracelet on the knee, on the ankle?
It's worn as jewelry. Yes. I don't know where it could be. Does it have to be worn on the ankle?
I don't know. I feel like you would call it a bracelet if it was on the wrist and maybe a bangle on the...
I think a bangle might just be a type of bracelet.
A bangle on the ankle? In... Bangle?
I'm seeing a lot of wrists, but I assume... The flute, final answer?
Yeah.
The correct answer was the bangle, 1.1. The Myanmar bamboo flute, used in Bamar music, measures about 30 centimeters.
Oh, my iPod is just full of Bamar music.
Yeah, it's as it should be.
Actually, that sounds interesting. I kind of want to check out, like, cool flute music to listen to in the background while I work. I need a new genre. I can't just be listening to like Irish jigs and bluegrass and synthwave. That's pretty much just the only three.
Let's talk about their wingspan. Wingspan 130 millimeters or 13 centimeters or 12 inches.
That's too many inches. How many of these? It's too big.
Which one of these is correct? How many fit into this stuff? A, 2.6 moths go into the diameter of a Sri Lankan lotus flower. B, 2.6 Malaysian durian seeds go into the wingspan of this moth. Or C, 2.6 of this moth go into the length of a Vietnamese chopstick.
2.6 of this moth going to the length of a Vietnamese chopstick. That's a pretty long chopstick.
Would be.
That's like, what, 15 inches? 16 inches? So that's about 16-inch chopstick? No. That's like about a foot. No, that's not out of the ordinary. That is still pretty long. I wouldn't want a foot long chopstick. It'd be hard to control.
If you want to eat something that you don't want to get too close to.
Yeah, if it tastes really good, but it's also really smelly.
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna have to bring it close to your nose anyway, whether you.
Maybe you're eating durian seeds.
Yeah, durians, aren't they? They're pretty smelly, I think. The actual fruit is. I don't know how big the seed is.
Is durian... I think durian's the one that smells like death.
Yeah. I've definitely know that that's the fruit that is a stanky boy. The first one.
The Sri Lankan lotus flower.
Yes, big flower. Imagining one of those.
Final answer.
Huge ones. Yes.
The correct answer is the Malaysian durian seed, which is about 1.9 inches long.
That is 9 inches almost long.
1.9.
Oh. this seed that could kill with blunt force trauma.
Yeah. But that's all I got for that. Do you have any fast facts before we get into the major fact?
I sure do. We're getting specific in the Pacific. So the greater death's head hawk moth is found all across Southeast Asia, from India to southern Japan down to Indonesia, including some of the countries you mentioned, like Bengal and Myanmar and that stuff. It thrives in tropical forests, which are common in these parts. What?
It sounded like, I think you were delayed, but for a second, it sounded like you couldn't think of another Pacific island.
Or Pacific, or
from my perspective, you said one and then like paused for a long time.
Oh, okay. But
I think it was just a lag.
No, I know my Southeast Asian countries. I've seen King of the Hill and know that Laos is one of them.
Yeah.
So anyway, the moth thrives in tropical forests, which are common throughout that region. They like gardens and farmlands. They enjoy sipping the nectar from nightshade, so they are just poison drinkers.
Do they live that goth lifestyle?
Yes. The adults sip nectar from flowers. Larvae munch on the leaves of plants like potato plants and jasmine. Males attract females with their pheromones. And then the mating process happens at night because they're moths. And then females will lay their eggs on the plants that they are, that they sip the nectar from. So oftentimes it's nightshade plants. They will also raid beehives for their honey, and they have pretty tough carapaces that don't really care that much about bee stings. The palm tree in my backyard has this big sprouting, flowering frond, and we have just dozens of bees foraging in it every day now, and I was happy.
Yeah, bees love those things.
I was happy to learn that foraging bees almost never sting people, as long as you're not, you know, trying to capture them or squish them or something. So you can be right underneath them and they're not going to sting you, which is okay, good, because I've got kids. If they were yellow jackets, mm-hmm. I'd have to set my backyard on fire. So the greater death's head hawk moth lives about 6 weeks as an adult. The full life cycle from egg to the death of the death's head is about 3 months. They are pretty solitary, except when they're larvae and they're all eating the same plant. And they actually emit like a squeaky chirp sound that is forcing air through its proboscis, for its big loopy straw face, in order to startle predators. But those predators still eat the moth, and those include bats, birds, large spiders, and I'll leave it at that. What do you got for us? Do you got a major fact?
I sure do. Well, the death's head marking that it has on its back resembles a skull. So it has a skull marking on its back. And the big question is, why does it have a skull marking on its back? So there's a couple of potential explanations. The skull pattern combined with the moth's ability, like you said, to emit a loud squeak when disturbed may startle or deter predators like birds, bats, and small mammals, striking an ominous... The ominous marking could signal that the moth is unpalatable. Like, do they know that this means toxic when you see a skull?
Skull and crossbones.
No.
Oh, that's a pirate moth. Don't mess with him.
It's a visual cue, and it's like a white, bright white, or like a lighter color than its back. That's effective in low light conditions. There is some some suggestion that it looks like a vertebrate's face. So certain animals like birds or small mammals would be afraid of it. Because it's got that, it's not like a skull, like a human skull. It's got a long, almost more like a dog skull, I guess, in shape.
I'm seeing a lot of different predator variations skull of it.
There's variations due to change. Some of them look like, gas masks to me. But it's just a face with eyes, eye holes. So it could also be disruptive camouflage, breaking up the moth's pattern, an outline when resting on tree bark. The back is like a flat area that you might need to break up with some sort of pattern disruption. And it just so happens to look like a skull. Some researchers suggest the skull shape could mimic the appearance of a larger animal's face, creating the illusion of a threat. It's possible that it's simply just a human cultural misinterpretation. It may not have any specific ecological purpose, but it resembles a skull to human eyes. Humans are apparently very good at seeing faces. Like, you pick up patterns like the man in the moon that looks like a face, and it's actually just a natural phenomenon that happens to
yeah.
have a general face shape.
We see people in the moon. Some lady sees Jesus in her toast. We see skulls on moths.
There's another explanation that they also emit a pheromone. It's very similar to bees that apparently helps them infiltrate beehives to drink honey. And the thorax marking might play a minor role in like looking like a bee or having a bee's face. I guess I could kind of see that.
I do not.
In a chaotic environment, sort of looking in a certain way that is bee-like. I don't know. Avoiding bee aggression.
I think the best, the face that it has that looks the most like a bee is its normal moth face.
True enough. Studies on the general consensus, though, it's that it's sort of an interesting striking. Anytime you get two dots together, it looks like eyes on an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a suggestion that the squeaking mixed with the visuals startle predators just long enough for them to, like, it's not a bird isn't thinking this is a face for very long, but it's just enough, just long enough to get away.
Long enough to say, huh?
Yeah, a 2020 study cited. A 2020 study looked into the thorax markings of this moth, and how it creates an illusion of a head with eyes when viewed upside down, sometimes, the skull pattern acts like a nose with other markings resembling eyes, ears, and the muzzle. The study suggests this illusion is almost certainly to deter or distract or otherwise deceive predators. So there's this 2020 study that supports the deception that this is a pattern that's used to deceive creatures into thinking it's a face. But to us, it looks like a skull, which makes it very creepy.
The amount of variance in these is, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's a lot of the times, especially in insects, they look pretty much the same. All the members of the species with not that much variance, but like some of these look not like skulls at all. Some of them look like Mandalorian masks.
Some of them look like so much like skulls. Yeah.
Some of them look so much like skulls that they look fake.
Photoshopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's enough like in between where you it all looks like a skull pretty much, but there are a few of them where it's like that's just eyes. One of them looks like a creepy skull. Looks like something you'd see over like a cave. The dead, but yeah, this is crazy. People, I looked up death mask moth, and people will like make Parisian masks out of this, or out of I don't know if they make it out of the actual moth or they just model it after the moth, but there's like a whole artistic style where you create one of those masks, but it looks like there's a moth over your face, which I imagine leads to a lot of people like slapping your face trying to kill a bird-sized moth that's landed on your eyeball. what they think is a bird-sized moth, at least.
Yeah, if I was at a masquerade, I would not be smacking moths off people's faces.
You might be like, you, one person that I don't think, doesn't look like they brought a mask, just don't move. You have a 6-inch moth crawling on your cornea. You want me to get that for you?
I have a mallet.
Because I'll do it. Okay. That's all you got?
But yeah, that's all I've got.
All right. This is one of those.
Some of these like are so striking that I can't. My first instinct is that it's fake. But then you click on it and you're like, yeah, no, that's real.
Yeah, especially at a distance. Like, when you look at the small mm-hmm. picture of it, you're like, oh, that is a skull. That's just someone taped a picture of a skull to the back. And then you look at it, and it looks very, like, natural and not skull-like when you get close. But from a distance, you're like, ugh.
Oh, also, the underside is, like, orange and black striped.
Yeah, so
it's yellowish-orange.
It is trying
very
to look like a
bee-like.
Bee. Yeah.
Yeah. So it looks more like a bee on the underside.
I'm not going to necessarily say that this skull makes it look more like a bee. It makes it look more like a spooky, scary skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
Make those birds and spiders shake and shiver with surprise. All right.
Yes.
I just can't wait. I'm so sick of it being hot. I want it to be fall. Not for the pumpkin spice lattes. Not for the decorations. I just want to wear a sweater again. I want to wear the sweater I have again.
We were just in the Midwest, and it was hot there, too.
It's hot everywhere.
And a little muggy. Yeah.
But it's just really gross down here. It's very muggy, and but in February we'll be the ones laughing.
You have like a crazy heat wave.
Yeah, it's it was 102
the
today.
South right now. Yeah, that's insane. Jacksonville, I think, had like its highest recorded heats today.
Did it? I didn't know it was a record. That's
I think so, or maybe just for this day.
It was a don't go, you know, outside they, kind like, of week so far.
Yeah.
And I happily obliged. I work in an office. All right. That is the Greater Death's Head Hawk Moth for you out there in Podcastia. Shrug off those bee stings, munch on some potato plants, and become a herald of death, life, and taxonomy. Like the Greater Death's Head Hawk Moth. Did it a little out of order.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
Who wants to be a herald when you could be a harbinger?